Okay, so we're in the middle of speaking about the Yanim of Sidur HaGet, some of the issues involved with actually presiding over the giving of a get. And what I wanted to focus upon mostly today is what do you do when you don't have the husband and the wife together when you give a get Ayidei Shliach? Because there is a Gzeiras HaKasa, it says V'shilcha, Mibeso, the Gemara derives from the word V'shilcha, that the husband can appoint the shliach to deliver the get to his wife, the shliach, as it's v'shilcha, an extra hey there, mapikei, that also teaches us that the wife can appoint the shliach to accept the get on her behalf as well. And also it says v'shilcha based on twice to teach us that once you appoint one shliach, so that shliach can appoint an additional shliach. So you can have an entire rotation of different shluchim that would basically serve to eventually deliver the get to the wife's hands. Sometimes you have a second agent, sometimes you could even have a third agent, and we give authority for an agent to appoint up until 100 agents as well. There is a question first that we were discussing last time about some of the different steps that we take in order to ensure that there not be any kind of lies, that there not be any type of murmur against the validity of a get. So we mentioned as we were concluding last time that one of the last things that we say in the get ceremony is that there's a chayim of Rabbeinu Tam and his Tam and Rabbeinu Moshe, that nobody can raise any kind of objections or cast any aspersions on a get after it is given. And that's one of the reasons why we keep the get on file in storage at the Beis Din, and we don't want the get itself to be out there in the public domain so that people would, chas v'shalom, look for problems with respect to a get. I remember that there was once a difficult get that was brought about by the with the help of the oral organization, the organization with the resolution of Avgunot, that I put some pressure and I made demonstrations against the man who had remarried without giving his first wife a get. Eventually, he gave her a get, and they recorded the get proceeding. They didn't have a video of it, but they recorded the entire audio of the get proceeding, and then they wanted to put together a video, a footage of what they had accomplished, showing all the demonstrations, showing the pressure they put on the husband, showing the fact that he eventually gave a get. And I told them that I didn't think that the video was a good idea for two reasons. One, once the fellow gave a get, so there's no reason or even propriety in embarrassing him by having an entire video about his recalcitrance because he's no longer recalcitrant. So it wouldn't really be proper to shame him further at that point in time once he complied and gave the get. And number two, that we have a long-standing custom of not broadcasting get proceedings, the same reason that we do not have the get itself sent out into the public domain, but it's kept under lock and key at the Beis Din, so people shouldn't try to find fault with the get. So to have a broadcasting of the actual proceeding that was performed, I was worried that people might try to find fault. Oh, you said this instead of saying that. Who knows what type of a problem a person might try to flag in watching the or listening to the get proceeding. So I said that's something that we don't do. Along those lines, we're also very careful. Shlolo in Siman Kuf Lamed Tesef Katan Dalet quotes Rabbi Akiva Eiger, who came up with the idea. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, of course, was a great gaon, and he said that really the kinyan of the giving the get to the woman, to the wife, requires that the get go into the hand space of the wife. So we always have the husband drop the get into the wife's hands. V'natan v'yada, that's what it says. V'nasan v'yada, it says in the Torah. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that's supposed to be taken very literally, that it has to be biyada. It has to go squarely into her hands. It can't be sticking out. If you have the get sticking out a little bit to the left or to the right, protruding up to the sides of her hands, so it's not a proper kinyan yad. She's not receiving it in her hands, and that would really be a real problem in terms of the kashrus of the get, and therefore you have to be very, very scrupulous about this. So the Piskei Tshuva says, well, for hundreds of years, nobody was really that careful about this, and they relied upon the fact that many of the poskim were of the opinion that since the woman not only receives the get in her hands, but she also lifts it up over her head. She does a kinyan hagba with it again, and she also tucks it under her arms, places it into her pocket. She acquires it in all kinds of different ways. You don't have to be so meticulous about whether it sticks out a little bit from her hand this way or that way. And he said that he's really concerned, mishum hotzas laz al gitin arishonim, that you're going to cast aspersions on the original gitin, and you're not supposed to do it. You're not supposed to come up with new chumras that you're going to be so scrupulous about that people will say that the previous gitin weren't kosher at all. And he notes that, in fact, this minog of placing the get squarely into the hand of the woman is mentioned by the Ramah in Siman Kuf Lamed Vav, but where the Ramah says, "But no, again, Shabbat Kofel get." The minog is that the get is folded up. It's folded up a few times because otherwise it's a large piece of paper. You're not gonna fit the whole thing in a woman's hands unless she has like ginormous hands, you know. So you know most people don't have such enormous hands. So therefore you have to fold it up. So he says, the minog is v'nogin shabal kofel get kadei shetucha lechos kula biyada kishenos alos, that she'll be able to hold on to the entire get when it's placed into her hands. So it says that the Piskei Tshuva that you'll notice from the language of the Ramah, mashma Deinu ela minag below medina, that it is only a minag biyama. It's just that he says v'nogin, that it's a custom, but not something which you have to be so mendactic about. So we're very careful about this in general, not to cast aspersions. It's for a similar reason that Rabbeinu Peretz enacted that even though there were many sugyas in the Gemara and Gittin that talk about giving a get out tonight, giving a get on condition, you say, oh, this is your get on condition that you give me $100. This is a get on condition that the sun comes out tomorrow. A condition on, this is a get on condition that the husband died from this particular disease so that she won't have to be a yevama that would be subject to yibum or chalit. So all kinds of different conditions that are discussed in the Gemara and different ways of doing the conditions so that the condition doesn't only set in when the get would no longer be valid, like in the case of the husband dies, where it would be effective a minute before he dies, so that it would still be a valid get, et cetera, et cetera. So Rabbeinu Peretz said that the conditions are very complicated, very complicated. You have to do a tonight kafel, you have to follow all kinds of different rules and regulations in order for tonight to be valid. And therefore he says that our minhag is that we don't do a get out tonight because it's very likely that it will lead to an invalid get. Not only is it likely that it will lead to an invalid get, but once you attach some sort of a condition to the get, there's always the possibility that the husband's going to claim that the condition wasn't properly fulfilled, that the condition wasn't properly understood. He meant one thing and it was understood a different way, and they thought that the condition was fulfilled, but really the condition wasn't fulfilled. So it's just better to stay away from conditions altogether. That's why one of the questions that arises is when a man goes out to war. So there's always a fear that the wife is going to be an aguna because he's going to be lost at war. There's not going to be any kind of a record that he definitely died. Maybe he was taken into captivity, but we don't really know. And therefore, a husband would, from the days of David HaMelech, we find that there was something known as a get milchama, where a husband would give his wife a get, and the get was understood by many meforshim to be a get out tonight. It was a conditional get. If he doesn't return from war after a certain amount of time, so then effectively this get that he's giving today before he goes out to battle is going to be an effective get at that point in time. So many of the meforshim said that it's not proper, even when that type of get is given, to give it as a conditional get, but it's better to do it as an unconditional get, where the husband just gives the get to his wife unconditionally. It becomes effective immediately. And then if he comes back from war, so he can always remarry his wife at that point in time. And that's a better way of doing it. You simply don't have a get that's given on condition, but there's an appointment that's made to the scribe and to the eidim where the husband says, don't write the get yet. When I'm not back from war after 12 months and nobody has heard about, you know, whether I survived or not, and it's not clear whether I'm in this world, whether I'm alive altogether. So therefore, there's a good chance that the wife is an omana, but we can't permit her to remarry because we don't have any evidence that he died. So at that point in time, just to cover your tracks, you'll give a get. So there won't be a get out tonight. It's just that we wait a period of time until the get is given. So that became the way in which wartime gittin are now processed. Not that it's given before a husband goes off to the army or goes off to war, but rather that he does an appointment of a sofer and eidim before he goes off to war. And they're just instructed that they're not to write again until a certain passage of time passes. So we had at the Beth Din of America, I had a lot of copies of such authorizations. that were issued by husbands before they went off to the Vietnam War. We had a couple of copies of such authorizations even from World War II. I was there at the time of the Persian Gulf War, and there were a few men who were going off to the army who came into the Besdin to perform such authorizations in the Persian Gulf War. Thank God we never actually had to write a get based on any of those authorizations, but that's the closest that we come to a get al Tanai. And you see some of the vagaries of a get al Tanai. So the Aruch HaShulchan Eben Ezra, Sifim Kuf Mem Hei, Sifim Chav Tes Talamin, speaks about some of these vagaries. He says, "Vizek Karov L'Shosh Mei Hashanah." It's about 300 years after Shekam Echon Mei Gedoylim, V'Yer B'Zeh Lomar, and that there was a Gadol who said, and that at the time in which a person who was a Shechim Meimah, there was a man who was very, very ill, and he gave a get to his wife. So at one point in time, they would do like a get al Tanai. It's only going to be a valid get in the event that he dies, but if he recovers from his illness, so it won't be a valid get. So what they did was they did an absolute get, but the man made all kinds of assurances separate and distinct from the get. And his family made all kinds of, the woman made all kinds of assurances, and her family made all kinds of assurances that in the event that the man would recover from his illness, that she would remarry him. But it wasn't part of the get itself. The get was given unconditionally. And then what happened? This was a case, it was famously known as the Get of Vienna, the Get Mivina of 1611. It took place in 1611. And there was a big uproar and a big brouhaha and hullabaloo about it because the husband gave the get unconditionally. And then lo and behold, much to the dismay presumably of everybody, he got better. So he got better and the wife didn't want to remarry him. She was perfectly happy that she now had a get from this fellow and she could move on with her life. And the Maharam Milublin got very upset. He said, even though there was no condition that was expressly stipulated, it was as if there was a condition expressly stipulated because everybody knew that the man was doing it based on the assurances that the wife was giving that she was going to remarry him in the event that he would get better. And there was a big hoopla about this between the various gedolim at the time. The Sma, Rabbi Yeshua Falk, who lived at that point in time, and the Maharsha, who lived at that point in time, some big heavy hitters who lived at that point in time, and the Bach lived at that point in time. I mean, this was like a good time, to be around in the rabbinic world. So they all said, no, the get was given unconditionally, that we very explicitly, very carefully distanced ourselves from the idea of a get out tonight. We followed this idea of Rabbeinu Paris, so the Rimat Paris, not, but the Rimat Paris, who said that you're not supposed to do a get al Tanai, and we didn't do a get al Tanai, and therefore it was understood that the man knew when he was told that when he was giving the get, he was giving it unconditionally, and there was, of course, a possibility that the woman wasn't going to keep her word, in terms of the assurances that she and her family gave that she would remarry him, and therefore it was considered to be a valid get. The Aruch HaShulchan says that this was, in fact, the consensus of all of the poskim. And he says because what we really effectuates the get are the witnesses that participate in the get itself. The get is given unconditionally in front of the witnesses. So then he says, we go only after what's actually said. The man said he's giving the get unconditionally. So therefore, whatever was in his heart, it doesn't really count for these purposes. So again, the fact that we don't do a get out tonight, again, this is the Rimi Paris who came up with this takana not to do a get out tonight anymore, is also to avoid these vagaries of having a question mark whether a get is valid or not. And similarly, that's one of the reasons why we tear the get. One of the minhagim after a get is completed is that there is a kriya, there is a tearing up of the get. One thing that can be disconcerting for people as well is that right before the get is handed over, we ask the woman, the wife, do you waive your ksuba? We spoke about that earlier. There shouldn't be tainus that the man claims that he didn't realize that she's going to claim the ksuba. So we ask, are you waiving your ksuba? And generally speaking, they've settled the monetary differences or they're settling it with lawyers and not based on the ksuba. And she says, yes, I waive the ksuba. And then the minhag is to tear into the ksuba, to actually tear up the ksuba. Usually we don't tear it up into shreds. We just tear the part in which the witnesses have signed to indicate that the ksuba is no longer valid. So there's also a tearing up of the get. Again, a tear is made like a bezdin tear, which is like a zigzag tear called shesi v'arv. So that type of a tear is made at the get, on the get at the very end of the ceremony. So what's the reason for that? So the Gemara in Ksuvos says that there was a sakana. I mean, a sakana ve'eloch, that they would tear up the gittin. That's Gemara in Ksuvos da peites. And Rashi explains, she goes over the kachar on the mitzvah, so you yurem l'shmo gittin, she kibulap balto, sarafto, that since they were the Ovdei Kochavim, the pagans where they lived, say you're not allowed to observe mitzvahs. And they, if they would discover that we were still doing gittin and they would find the get, so then there could be a pogrom or something. It could be very, very dangerous. So whenever they would do a get, they would destroy the get afterwards. So the so some of the poskim say, the Tumas Sedeshin says, even after there's no longer a gezerah, and they're no longer tearing up our gittin, nonetheless, haminig bekoma. Sometimes, you know, we make a minig, and the reason for the minig might not apply anymore, but that's the reason why we tear up the gittin. So the Radvaz and the Shas HaShus, the Radvaz, the Gimel Simen Tov Mem, gives another reason. He says that it's because the husband is really the one who's writing the get. Again, he's not actually physically writing the get. He's appointing a sofer to write the get on his behalf, but it's considered like he's writing the get. So he might say, well, when I authorize the get to be written, I had authorized it to be given with the letters written a particular way in accordance with this ksav and not that ksav, and this letter, you know, should have been longer and this one should have been shorter, and that's the way that I wanted it to be written. And therefore, the husband is going to find fault with the get and claim this is not really the get that I authorized. So, you know, it's a great way to prevent the husband from doing that. You just tear up the get. So you tear the get, so then the husband realizes he's not going to have the opportunity to do that. If he realizes he's not going to have the opportunity to do that, so even when he authorizes the get, it's understood by him from the outset that he's authorizing it to be written however the sofer decides that he's going to write the get, and not based on his investigation of the get, because he knows he's not going to have the opportunity to investigate to get. So that's another reason why we tear, why we make a tear into the get. There are two other reasons that are not found as readily in the poskim, but which I understood to be the case and which have come in handy just based on my own experience. And one is that when you make the tear into the get, it's a tear that's made, as I mentioned, in a zigzag fashion, which is a kara bezdin. It's the official tear of the bezdin. If you have an official tear of the bezdin, what does that indicate? It indicates that the get was given over, because the bezdin would not make this type of a tear on the get if it wasn't given over properly. So this is the proof that the get was not only written, but it was actually delivered and was actually given over. Let's say you had a woman who didn't have, or her children didn't have a record of her tudas gerushin, of her certificate of Jewish divorce, in which the bezdin signed, testifying to the fact that she was divorced according to Jewish law. They lost it. They don't have it. It wasn't maintained over the years, but you're able to find in the study of the Rav who did the get, or the bezdin that did the get, you're able to find the get that has the names of these parties with this kara bezdin, with this tear, this very specific tear that's performed by the bezdin on the get. So that would be proof that the get was given over properly and the woman was divorced. We had a case like that in which a person didn't know whether the grandmother had received the get properly. It was a question whether, therefore, they were kosher, whether they were permitted to marry, or whether there was maybe a mamzerus question because they didn't know. And the time in which the grandmother would have gotten divorced was like in the Bronx in the 1920s. And we did some research. And at that point in time, there was a Rabbi Libus. Rabbi Libus was the one who did all the gittin, and we tried to find out, so who has the gittin that Rabbi Libus did? So, well, he has a great nephew by the name of Habestam, who lives in Habestam, who lives in Brooklyn. So we tracked down the Habestam, and Habestam said, yeah, I have like, you know, hundreds, thousands of gittin that, you know, my great uncle did. And we went through all the gittin, and we found the name of this individual with a kara bezdin, so we were able to rematzer on that basis. Another really good reason to tear into the get. And finally, and this is, you know, a reason that really emerges from the Gemara. You might have, although this would seem to be extremely unlikely, two people, a husband and wife, who have exactly the same names as the two people who got divorced, and you don't want them to use the exact same. I would have to be using the exact same get, like on the exact same date, you know, presumably. So it would be unlikely to happen. But then again, if a get is delivered by a shliach, it could be delivered at a later point in time. So you don't want this get to be used by somebody, by two other people who just happen to share the exact same names as this husband and this wife. So that's another reason to tear into the get, so it can't be used again. Yes, Rabbi Zucker.
This tearing the basement, is there some means to make sure that someone's fabricated? If I see it once, can I do it on my own if I can't buy my mother's get, but I want to make sure.
Well, it'd be very suspicious if you had the get. In other words, if just a regular layperson has the get, that already is a cause for suspicion, since it's the bezdin that keeps all of the gittin. So if you found the get, you know, in the files of the bezdin, it wouldn't really be so suspicious, because presumably it has a presumption of authenticity and legitimacy if you find it, you know, within the bezdin. If you found it just within your own drawer at home, so yeah, that might be a little bit more suspicious. I would agree with that. And we've had cases like that where we wanted to check on the validity of a get that was performed, and the woman just said, oh yeah, sure, no problem, here's the get. So what are you doing with the get? You're not supposed to have the get. Like the Bezdin did the get. They weren't supposed to they release that. They were supposed to give you a tzudas gerushin. Usually that's that happens when it's not an Orthodox get. If it's like a conservative get, something like that. So they don't necessarily follow well the same rules. So that's all by way of introduction. So the next topic is the get ayyadei shliach, a get that's done, that's given through an agent. So why would you ever give a get to an agent? So you give a get to an agent usually for one of two reasons. Either because the husband and wife, they live in disparate locations. They live in different places. The husband's in California, the wife's in Chicago, the husband's in France, and the wife is in Chicago. You know, not that everybody, you know, that somebody has to always be in Chicago, but if we're involved in the get, chances are somebody's in Chicago. So we do gitin. We've bought gitin all over the world. We've sent gitin to Italy and to France and to, you know, Eretz Yisrael and to London and, you know, what have you. And they've sent gitin to us. So that's one reason. Another reason you would have a get ayyadei shliach is if it's just emotionally uncomfortable for the husband and the wife to be in the same room at the same time. That has been known to happen. You'd be surprised. Sometimes, even though they don't get along at all, sometimes they'll just want to be in separate rooms for the vast majority of the get proceeding up until the last 2 minutes. The last 2 minutes when the get has to be delivered, so then they're comfortable, you know, standing right next to each other and doing the get. That's often the case, but sometimes it just is not comfortable for whatever reason. Sometimes one of them has an order of protection against the other. I mean, you know, there are, you know, really very serious, you know, situations sometimes. There was one time where, you know, the husband, you know, came in, he was carrying a gun, and, you know, Rabbi Schwartz had to sort of diffuse the tensions. So you don't know what to expect. So that's another reason why you might not want to have the husband and the wife together in the same room. So as we mentioned, the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph derives from Shulchan Beiso that the husband and the wife can both respectively appoint shluchim. Here's where there's a Rabbeinu Peretz. Rabbeinu Peretz is one who says that we try to avoid having a wife appoint an agent because that is complicated. It's very complicated to have a shliach l'kabbalah, an agent that receives the get on behalf of the wife. It has to be it has to be done with an appointment in front of at least two witnesses, and it has to be memorialized in a harsha, an official authorization document that has to have signatures that are recognized by the dayanim in the place where the agent is receiving the get on behalf of the wife. And you're really relying very much on the harsha, very much on this authorization document. If anything is wrong with it, so then the whole thing could be invalid. And there's also a further machlokis between the Rif and other Rishonim as to whether it really works for the wife to be divorced right away, or whether it only works insofar as, okay, well, once the in certain cases, where let's say we have two different possibilities of how a shliach l'kabbalah could be appointed. Either the wife appoints an agent to receive the get, but you also have the possibility of what we call a get ayyadei zikoy, where we say that it's such an unquestionable zuchus on behalf of the wife that the wife should be divorced, therefore we are going to appoint an agent on her behalf to receive the get. So there's a whole question in all of us in that case, where you have that type of an agency, whether the woman is divorced right away when the agent receives the get, or whether, no, that only works to allow the husband to remarry, but it doesn't actually, she's not actually divorced until the get comes physically into her hands. You have all kinds of different vagaries. So when it comes to a woman receiving a get, generally speaking, we prefer that the woman receive it herself. It's only in very, very rare circumstances that will allow a shliach, the kabbalah, the Bach allowed it in a case where the husband was not of like a sound frame of mind. He was itim kolim, itim shote. Sometimes he was normal and sometimes he was just a lunatic. And if he would be a lunatic at the time that the get would be delivered to the wife, then it wouldn't be a valid get, because the shliach can only do that which the person himself can do. So therefore, he just at the time that the husband wrote the get and the wife wasn't able to be present, let's say she lived far away, he saw to it that a shliach kabbalah, that there'd be an agent appointed by the wife who would receive the get immediately from the husband, because otherwise he was afraid the get would become invalid by the husband losing his mind afterwards. Or if you have a case where you're very, very worried that the husband is going to be mevatel the get, that he's going to nullify the get after he appoints his agent to deliver the get. So then maybe in such a case also, you'll see to it that there be an agent who actually receives the get on behalf of the wife. So these are sort of exceptional situations. They don't come up that often, but they do come up from time to time. The case, however, that does come up all the time is where the husband is the one who's appointing a get to an agent to deliver the get, because that's the famous takan at the beginning of Maseches Gittin of b'fanei neftam b'fanei neftam, right? So that you have an agent that comes and delivers the get and says, this get was written and signed in my presence. And there, if you really have that formula, technically speaking, you probably don't need a harsha. You probably don't need this authorization document. We do it anyway. Now we don't need the authorization document altogether because you're allowed to rely on the agent himself. And there's the whole machlokus in the Gemara between Rav and Rava. Why do we have the agent say b'fanei neftam b'fanei neftam? And one explanation is that, well, because Rava said, because we need to, you know, make sure that everything was done l'shma, that everything, the get was written properly for the sake of the wife and the husband and for the sake of divorce. And outside of Israel in particular, they weren't so biki and b'shma, they didn't know how to do that properly. So therefore, it was only a statement that had to be made by the agent outside of Israel. But we don't pass like Rabbah. We pass like Rabbah, and that we're worried many shein eidim in the kaimo, that you have to authenticate the signatures of the witnesses of the get. And sometimes it's hard to perform that authentication. So the Chazal made a special takana that when it comes to Gittin, instead of requiring that authentication of the get document, we're going to rely instead upon the agent himself saying that it all was signed properly, b'fanei nechtam, and therefore I don't need to authenticate anything. And in order that we not rely upon this very, call it flimsy, you know, authentication process. Normally, I need at least two witnesses to authenticate, and now I don't. So we also throw in another clause in which he says not only b'fanei nechtam, but also b'fanei nechtop, that it was also, you know, written in my presence, so that we understand that this is different from a normal authentication process, and you're not going to confuse it with other types of cases. So if you, technically speaking, if you had a situation where there were eidim mesuyim in the kaimo, like the get was given in it was written in one place and then it was carried to another place that was only one block away, or the wife is going to come into the same bezdin later that day to pick up the get, and the witnesses are easily available to authenticate. So the Gemara indicates you don't need authentication in such a case. But then Tosos points out, based on a Gemara that says that if you have a very, very busy town, people are constantly moving around, they're not paying attention to each other's signatures, like Mechuzah. Mechuzah people are just 90, they were just constantly moving around up and down, left and right, you know, taking, planes, but, you know, they were just like traveling all over the place. So therefore, nobody was really paying attention to what anybody's signatures look like. So then you would need to authenticate even if you were just within one small vicinity. So Tosa says, nowadays, life is like that. You know, we live in a very busy, razzle-dazzle world in which people are just, you know, hustling and bustling all the time. And therefore, we always have to say b'fanei neftam b'fanei neftam. But Tosfos points out something else, which is very important. Even if you said, like, let's say you were in Eretz Yisrael, where according to Rabbi, you don't have a problem with Shema. And you were in a small vicinity in Eretz Yisrael, according to, you know, even Rava, you wouldn't need to worry about b'fanei neftam b'fanei neftam because there are eidim who are available to authenticate signatures. Tosfos says, you're still better off. If you have the agent saying b'fanei neftam b'fanei neftam, what that means is that the Chazal ordained and established that if the Baal, if the husband would come and be ma'arir, he would come and cast aspersions of grievances on the get afterwards, we're not going to pay attention to him anymore. In other words, this is like a foolproof solution, so you don't have to worry. Like, eidim mesuyim in the kaim just means that I'm not so worried that the husband's going to cast aspersions on the get or the authenticity of the witnesses, because I'll always be able to find witnesses who will come along and say, oh yeah, I recognize the signatures of these witnesses. But you don't even have to bother doing that. You don't even have to bother doing that. So therefore, b'fanei neftam b'fanei neftam is just a foolproof solution to avoid that. But again, b'fanei neftam b'fanei neftam requires that, according to the Gemara, it be true. B'fanei neftam means the get was written in my presence. So the Gemara says, it's okay that they, the Daf Heyam base in Gittin, it's sufficient if the shliach, the agent, just saw like the first line of the get being written, and he's able to like take a simon that he looks at it and he says, oh yeah, I recognize this get, so that's good enough. But b'fanei neftam, the shliach has to see to it that the entire get is signed in his presence as well. So let's say it's not true. Let's say there was a case in St. Louis with Rabbi Rifkin, Zatzal, was the Abbezdin. But he was the chief rabbi of St. Louis. He was involved with a get, and the shliach stepped out for a minute or so, and he missed the first signature. So he can't say b'fanei nechtam chetzio, doesn't work. It has to be b'fanei nechtam kulo. He has to be able to say the entire recitation that the Chazal ordained. He has to be able to say b'fanei nechtam, which means I saw the signature of the entire get.
So in that particular case, there happens to be a shita of the Rashba, which is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Rashba says that if I have a harsha, mikuyemis, I have a separate authentication document that's signed by witnesses, and especially if it's counter-authenticated by three dayanim, that testifies as to who the witnesses were who signed on the get. So even in a case where you don't have a finectum, you can rely upon that. Now, what happens there, the Rivash disagrees with that, but the Beis Shmuel says that's, you know, that's, it was a chumra b'yama. That the Rivash disagreed, but that's just a stringency. So if you really saw Rabbi Rifkin's case, they had a harsham mikuyemis, so therefore he said you could rely upon it. Plus, the witnesses who saw the eventual delivery of the get were the same witnesses who saw the appointment of the agent in the first place. So the Piskei Tshuva brings that. That's also pretty good. That according to many authorities, you can also rely upon that. You don't want to be in that type of a situation where you're going to need to rely on harsha, not finectum or finectum. But there is, you know, this possibility. Now, the Gemara also has a separate dispute, which is the Gemara indicates that there's a machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. So the Gemara in Gittin and Samach Dalet, Amun Aleph, about what if the husband and wife are in the same city? Like, it's all fine and good if the husband and wife, the first scenario that we discussed, husband is in Chicago, wife is in Los Angeles, whatever. We understand why he's appointing an agent to deliver the get, because he's not near his wife. She's very, very far away. But let's say they really both live in Chicago, and it's just they're uncomfortable being together at the same time. Well, then it's a little suspicious. What if the husband said, well, when I gave the get to the agent, I just gave it to him as a pikadon. I just gave it to him as a just kind of a deposit, as an escrow, not to deliver it to my wife. And my proof is, if I wanted to deliver the get to my wife, why would I give it to an agent? She lives right here. I would have just given it straight into her hands. So therefore, the Rav Huna says, you know what? If they both live in the same town, that's pretty credible. That's pretty believable. Well, I think that the husband is believed. What if the agent says, no, you didn't. You gave me the get in order to deliver it to your wife. That's, you know, that's exactly why you handed it to me, to deliver it to your wife as a get, not as just a deposit. So Rav Chisda says that the agent is believed. However, there's a question as to how exactly we paskin. So the Rambam paskins, like Rav Chisda, that the agent is always believed, so there's nothing to discuss. However, there are Rishonim, and their opinions are brought in Shulchan Aruch as a Yeshomim. There are Rishonim, and this is in Siman Kuf Mem Aleph, who are of the opinion that, no, if they both live in the same town, so then if the husband claims that he just gave the get as a deposit, as an escrow, then the husband is believed and not the agent. So that makes it very difficult when you have them both be ir achas, if they're both, you know, in the same city. Some say that you can avoid this problem by seeing to it. And this is, I think there are many Bati Din and Eretz Yisrael Machmir about this, that if they live in the same city at the time that the get is delivered, they see to it that the husband should not be in the same city, that the husband should like take a trip somewhere else so that he not be in the same city, so that there wouldn't be, you know, this particular taina. Seems to me that's a taina not only when the get is delivered, when the get was originally commissioned in the first place, but that's one solution. And in fact, I was involved with a get where the Mesader Gittin was very makbid that we're doing an Ayyadei Shliach, that the husband leave town, he skipped town. Like here, it's not so easy, but not so hard. Because the best in Chicago, the Chicago Rabbinical Council, we're mamish like right across the street from Evanston. So we just like, you know, tell the husband like across the street or something, you know, before we deliver the get, and you know, then he'll be in a different town. But there is this concern. However, for the most part, we're not really makbid about this. And the Aruch HaShulchan says there are a couple of reasons. Number one, the Rambam paskins like Rav Chisda that the Shliach is always believed. Number two, if you look at Rashi, says the Aruch HaShulchan, and some of the Rishonim, the way they understood the sugya is that they weren't arguing about a case where the husband had given a get to somebody to serve as a shliach l'halacha, to deliver the get to his wife. They were arguing about a case where the husband had appointed somebody to serve as a shliach, the Kabbalah, to receive the get on behalf of his wife, where the argument would be, why give it to somebody else to receive on behalf of your wife? Well, you can just give it straight to your wife. But there really could be an argument as to why the husband would have given the get to a shliach l'holacha rather than giving it straight to his wife, because maybe he wanted to sit on it a little bit and think about the possibility that, you know, maybe he'll cancel the get. So this way it gives him like a little bit of time, maybe before the agent delivers the get to revoke the get. But not that he was giving it as an escrow per se, you know, as, you know, just some sort of a document to hold forever to put in a museum or something. But that he really intended for it to be a get to be given over to his wife, so that there's no problem in the case of a shliach l'halacha. We really would believe the agent, particularly if it's after the fact when he already delivered the get to his wife and the husband can no longer revoke the get for sure at that point in time. Plus, there is a shita of the Ramah that says that this is really only a problem when they're living like mamish in the same chatzir. They're living like, you know, mamish like next door to each other. So then there's more of an argument. Why don't you give the get to your wife directly? But if they're living in the same city, but the city has, you know, many square miles to it. So then in such a case, says the Rama, that there's no opinion that the husband would be believed in such a case. So even with all of these considerations, here too, the Marami Padava, quoted by the Rama, and there is no dissenting view quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, says, if I have a harsha, if I have a clear authorization document saying that the husband appointed this person to be the agent to deliver the get to his wife, so we would certainly rely on a harsha in this case. So in every single case that we appoint the shliach lahalacha, we always have a harsha. We always have this authorization document, so therefore that's going to be okay. What happened, though, in a case like you have with Rabbi? So Rabbi Rifkin said, okay, so I had one problem that they both lived in the same town, but that I got over because we had our shah, and we're makel about that. But then I have a separate problem, which is that according to the Rivash, I really, you know, shouldn't be able to rely upon a harshah when there is a case where the shliach didn't actually see the entire signatures of both of the witnesses of the get. So he also quoted Rav Shlomo Kluger. Rav Shlomo Kluger, who is, of course, a great rabbi who lived in the 19th century, so Rabbi Shlomo Kluger points out that if a person signs their name, let's say they're a witness, and the name is, let's say, Yochanan ben Yosef. So he says that so a person can really not sign their entire name and it could still be a good signature. Let's say they only wrote Yochanan. So that's okay. Let's say they only wrote Ben Yosef. So according to many authorities, that's also okay. So it says to Shlomo Kluger, if an aide only wrote Ben Yosef, that could also be okay. So he said, well, maybe one additional argument over here is that he saw the Ben part. Like he missed the first part of the name when the witness was signing, but he saw when the witness got up to, you know, the Ben Yosef or the Ben, you know, Aaron Cohen or whatever his father's name was, to say son of the following father. So that part was seen by the shliach. But Lemay said there is a solution in a case where, let's say, you don't want to rely on the harsha, because after all, you do have opinions that say you shouldn't rely upon the harsha lechatzkila, and for whatever reason, the agent wasn't able to say fanenektam, fanenektam. We have this as well. Let's say that the agent's going to deliver the get at night. I had a case a few years ago where there was an aguna case that was going on for 20 years. I exaggerate, about 15 years. It was going on for about 15 years. And finally, one bright day, the husband said, okay, I'll finally give the get to my wife. We have no idea why he said it. But he said, I'll give the get to my wife. But he was going to do it it was like evening already when he authorized it. They couldn't possibly be in the same room with each other for all kinds of reasons. And the get was written. And the question was, okay, the get was written. It was now 9 p.m. The wife would be prepared to receive the get the next morning from the shliach lahalacha. He can say farinekta. Remember, it's a kiyam chasimus, which is a ma'isa bezin. It has to be during the daytime. We've spoken about that. So do you wait till the next morning? So they called me up, the bezin administrator called me up and said, do I think that we should wait until the morning? So first, when I heard about the fact that get was written, I said, is there any way that he can give it to her directly? And they said, nothing doing. So I said, is there any way that he can just give it to the agent? The agent can deliver it to her, like, you know, that she could be in a couple of minutes away. They said, yeah, we can have the get delivered to her like 15 minutes later. We can, you know, take it to her home 15 minutes later, because I didn't want any passage of time, because I didn't want the husband to get any bright ideas between the time when the get was given to the agent and the time that the get will be delivered. But it will be nighttime, because the get's only being written in the nighttime. He won't be able to say, farinektam, farinektam. I said, okay, so there's an alternative option. What's the alternative option? Why do we say that why do we say farinektam, farinektam? Because we're afraid the witnesses will not authenticate the get. So you simply have an authentication of the get by witnesses. And there is a nusach. What you do is that you take the get, and on the back of the get, you have a nusach that says as follows. The nusach says that here we, you know, the following bezdin were reconvened. Befaneinu bezdin reconvened, and the two witnesses came in front of us, and they authenticated the get. How do witnesses authenticate the get? So Shulchan Aruch says that the way that that witnesses authenticate a get is that they can either the dayanim recognize the signatures of the witnesses. It almost never happens, because the witnesses sign with ksav ashuris. The way that they sign is like the way that you would, you know, write a sefer Torah scroll. And even if I recognize somebody's signature, I'm probably not going to recognize the way that a person signs with ksav ashuris. Also, the sefer Mishnah Seget points out that when people sign Miksav Ashura, it's like it's really hard to tell one person from another because like it all ends up looking pretty much the same. Plus, we don't really pay attention to anyone's signatures nowadays. And people don't like sign in general the way that they would sign on a get. The way that people sign, you ever go to like a supermarket and they ask you to sign because, you know, you're giving your credit card? So how do you sign? Like it was once upon a time when I was like very young. So the way that people would sign their signature, they would like take it very seriously. And then, you know, you look at the signature. Oh, is this your signature or not? Nowadays, the way you sign is like, ooh, ooh, like a little tiny like scribble. Like, you're like with your left hand or something, your pinky, you know, you just like do a little scratch and everything is good. Everything is kosher nowadays. So there's no such thing as recognizing a person's signature nowadays. But one way that you can do it is that the witnesses can come in and they can say, Zecha simasi v'zecha simas chaveri. Each person says, yes, this is my signature. And the other one is my friend's signature because it's always a friend because Edom are always friends with each other. So it's always say chaveri. Then the second person says, Zecha simasi v'zecha simas chaveri. And then you have authentication. And what you write on the back of the get, and I've done this, it's come up about three times, one time, you know, a couple of times the get that had to be delivered at night, one time in which the shliach actually, similar to Rabbi Rifkin, you know, missed a little bit of the chasima. So you write on the back of the get, b'faneinu bezden chasumi matzah, in front of this bezden, the undersign, niskaimu b'faneinu chasimas hani treisadi. These signatures have been authenticated in our presence, and hani treisadi, and then you mention the names of the two witnesses, Moshe ben Binyamin and Mordechai ben Avram, as the case may be, b'ashrenu b'kai menu k'dechazi. And we have a thought, and we have certified this and authenticated it as is appropriate. Ne'um so-and-so, ne'um so-and-so, ne'um so-and-so. And you have the three dayanim sign, and you have your niskayim b'chosmav. So you actually can do niskayim b'chosmav in a situation where it becomes impractical to say before next time, before next time. Yes, question.
Is it an option to have them just that re-sign or sign over, if somebody stepped out and they missed it, so sign it.
Sometimes, you know, you can write a get, you know, a second time, but it's not, once you have a kosher signature, so the signature is kind of like, you know, finalized at that point in time. But there are other solutions. As I said, for the most part, you can really rely upon a harsha, you can rely upon, you know, these authentication documents. These are all just, you know, chumras agabi chumras, obviously, because with a get, you want to make sure that you do everything, you know, 100% properly, 100% glatt. It's a separate question. But we're running a little bit late over here. So maybe next time, as we will explore the issue of what about, can I have a shliach laholacha of the husband deliver a get to a shliach lekabbalah of the wife? Or can it only be one side, one way? That I either have a shliach laholacha or I have a shliach lekabbalah, but can you do it in a way in which the husband, neither the husband nor the wife, are participating in the giving or receiving of the get? And how exactly does that work? That's another sugya in the Gemara. Maybe we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about Get Sikoi a little bit, and then we'll go on to other things. Okay, we'll stop here.